Right, old-fashioned preaching. They're right. Makes you think about how you're living. That's how you get saved. They're right. That's a good biblical song. That's right. Amen. Turn your Bibles this evening, if you would, to we'll go to Matthew chapter 13. We'll talk a little bit about seven mysteries in the kingdom of Matthew. We'll go through a few of those, and we'll talk specifically about the sower, Matthew chapter 13. And we'll try to draw a few things out from there to get some help tonight. I'd like to just say, by way of introduction, about this funeral thing, I was driving after service, and with the owner of the company, and we're just talking about stuff. You know, it's me and him in the front of his car, and we're taking our time. We're driving through, and I was just talking about the tragedy of the whole thing. You know, about drug abuse and all that stuff. And he said, just recently here, he had the worst year he's ever had, 17 in 1 year funerals, all from an opiate heroin overdose. 17. That's just one company in one small little city. 17. One family in specific. Three of them. Three brothers or whoever, three family members in the same family. All that you figured they would learn, don't you? It's really sad. But today went really well. Well as to be expected. And it's a shame. It's a shame my little brother, who I believe was saved, just never got rooted. Never got grounded in the Word of God. And I believe if he would have done that, his life would have been different. I know it. Sorry, a little loud. I know it. So I want to talk about that for a little bit. I want to talk about being rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And again, like Matthew chapter 13. There's seven mysteries in the kingdom of God in Matthew. Number one, the first one is the sower, which if you want to write these down, that's great. If not, you can follow along. But there's seven mysteries of the kingdom in Matthew. Now, I'm not sure. I know Pastor Wilps has been teaching you guys for a while. I'm sure you know this stuff, but I'll just review some of it anyway. Now, in the Bible, you have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, right? Who knows that they're different? Anybody know? Good, good. So you know they're different, right? So which one is to what? A spiritual kingdom, and that's in Romans. It says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It's saying it's not physical. It's also mentioned the kingdom of God is within you, right? When you get saved as a child of God, we're not bringing in the kingdom. Like we're not going to physically right now set up a king like the Muhammads and everybody else, and they want to cut people's heads off and bring a king on. It's not like that. We bring in the kingdom. You want to use that terminology, that's fine, but realize as a child of God in this age, in this dispensation, you're bringing in the kingdom spiritually. You must be born again, right? You get born again. It's a spiritual new birth. That's how you get in the kingdom. And then you spread the kingdom, not by building a Solomon's temple and setting up guards and going in and warring with AI and warring. That's Old Testament stuff. So let me go ahead and pray, and we'll go ahead and talk about these things. So seven mysteries of the kingdom. And tonight I'd like to concentrate on the sower. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, the King James Bible. And I believe it. And I thank you for it, and I pray you please would bless this short time, Lord. I'll try to keep it brief. I know I'm tired, Lord, and I know the folks need something from you, Father, and so do I. And I just pray you please would bless this time and settle our hearts and minds, and please slow me down a little bit, Father, so I may think clearly and present what you'd have us to hear, Father. We pray and ask for Jesus to help us. Amen. All right. So the first one we have seven mysteries of the kingdom. In Matthew, the first is the sower, Matthew 13, chapter 1, chapter 13, 1 through 23. The next of the seven is the wheat and the tares. That's also in Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30, and then again 36 and 43. Thirdly, we have the mustard tree. That's the third one. That's also in Matthew 13, verses 31 to 32. Then we have the leaven. That's also in Matthew 13, 33. That's the fourth mystery of the kingdom. The fifth one is the hid treasure. That's also in Matthew 13, 44. And they're also in other places. I'm just hitting them here. And then we have the pearl of great price. That's the sixth one. That's also in Matthew. That's verses 45 to 46. And then the dragnet. I like that one. Don't you wish we could use that one now? I wish I could take that out soul winners, bring a big old dragnet, just drag these people in here, don't you? If that would work and I wouldn't get arrested, maybe I might try it. The dragnet. That's also in Matthew 13, verses 47, I think through 58. So let's take a look here, and let me find my spot here. 18, Matthew 13, 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, when I first got saved, I prayed Somebody gave me some advice and said, why don't you pray that somebody, that the Lord would send a man by your way to help you out when you first get saved. Why don't you pray the Lord send somebody in your life so you can grow thereby? And the Lord did. He sent several people. My uncle Mike, Pastor Mike Welps, was one of them. And I had another man said, I'll tell you, he said this, Joe, I'll tell you what, two things I remember specifically, and I probably mentioned this before in the past, is he said this. He said, one of the secrets of the Christian life is think about it like a locomotive train. He said, it's slow and steady, slow and steady, slow and steady. And over the years, I realized what he's saying. He's saying that don't get too excited, don't get too depressed. You know what I mean? What happens is that the Christian life goes up, down, but the secret to that is try to stay steady. Try to stay just nice and steady. Slow. You're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, but don't let your highs be too high and don't let your lows be too low. And if you can get that in your mind and think about that, that'll help you. That'll help you. Not only that, he said this. He said, Joe, talking to me, the guy said, he said, the key to the Christian life is the parable of the sower. I never got that until I got older. I'm still getting it, but I thought about that. So he told me that this is super duper important, and it is. Let's take a look here, a couple of verses, and see what we've got going on. So hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, I'm in Matthew 13, verse 19, then cometh a wicked one. You see, check this out. The Lord doesn't wait, Josiah, sit down, son. Josiah, sit down, bud. Don't get up. So the Lord doesn't wait too long before he starts warning you right away. He says, hey, guess what? The wicked one's coming. So he talks about the word, he talks about the sower, and then he says the wicked one's coming. So look at the first lesson the Lord shows us right here, and he catches them away, that which was sown in his heart. And she's not here, she was at the funeral. I told this story before probably a million times, but one time I was witnessing to a friend of mine, a female, years ago, and as I'm witnessing to her, all of a sudden she gets ready to get saved, and all of a sudden this little mouse pops out of the corner and comes running across right in front of us. And she freaks out and jumps up and, like, forget the witness. It's gone. Done, right? He said, well, what's going on there? Well, according to the Bible, then cometh that wicked one and taketh away the word that was sown in her heart. And little things like that constantly happen. And you got to look at the Bible. It says, sown in his heart, verse 19, this is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. Okay. Okay. Making you cry already? All right. Okay. Verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So the next lesson the Lord shows is preaching here. And by the way, we're learning another passage. It's by the seaside. So it just hit me today when I was studying and looking at this thing, how beautiful that must be. He's teaching out by the sea, and the breeze is probably going, and I don't know what time of year it is, but I can picture in my mind just the peace there. And imagine the Lord Jesus Christ himself teaching the Bible to you. What a blessing that is. Well, another way to look at that is he is teaching it to you, and you have it in your lap. And you have that King James Bible in your lap, and you're able to read it, and I'm reading exactly what Jesus Christ said to me in English. The stony place. I thought about stones in the ground. Now, he's going to go into his big dissertation about, you know, having a good ground, which is your heart, and we know all that kind of thing. But you think about this stone. You know what that stone does to a farmer? Is that stone, it stops the plow. And the Bible says that you have to break up the fallow ground. Go over there, sit down right now. Go over there, sit down right now. Go. Break up the fallow ground. And what happens is that the farmer gets out there, especially when he gets a new farm, a new piece of ground, and he gets the farm equipment out there. In the old days, it was the plow and it was the horse and stuff. And it would run into that stone and it would just stop all progress. Completely stop all progress. And sometimes it would take days on end to dig that thing out. Because on the surface, it'd be just a little pebble, maybe a little stone. But as I kept digging, it's bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I had to get that thing out of there. You know what I mean? I had to get that out of there so that it have good ground to receive good seed. And the Bible says that's the word of God. You know how many people today have stony hearts? Yeah. Amen. And I saw it today. I got preaching on the gospel a little bit. I hit on it pretty solid and talked about hell and a place of torment. And you don't want to go there. And you know, this is, and all of a sudden, as soon as you go that way, a route in a funeral, it's like caskets open. I'm looking at the head of my little baby bro. It's like really intense. And I'm preaching this stuff, but I said, this part's easy. This part's simple. I know where he's going. I know he didn't make the right decisions, I told him. I know he messed up in life. I mean, it's common knowledge, but I do know this. He made the right decision, okay? He received Jesus Christ. And then I talked about hell, and and as soon as I started talking about hell, you could just kind of look, did that kind of number. And I said, listen, you need to hear me out here. And you know what that is? It's a bunch of stones. A bunch of stones just lodged in all these little hearts. Some of these people were heroin addicts. Some of these people that were sitting here today were pill poppers. They're out there smoking cigarettes, drinking. I said, listen, when you leave here, you're going to go to the bar. You're going to go get high. I said this. You're going to go search for happiness in a pill, and you're never going to find it. Because that hole in your heart, only God can fill it. And you're never going to find peace going out there in this world. And I gave him some scriptures. And I talked about the step and everything else. And it was a blessing. And I said, you're never going to have peace with God until you make peace with God first. You make peace with God first, and then he gives you peace. There's no other way. That's God's formula. I mean, you look at that thing. And I went on. But my point in saying that was just to say, like, I could see the stones all over the place in here. And that was his problem as well, is that he just had some stones in his life he couldn't get them out of his heart. I know he loved the Lord, and he tried to show it in his own way, putting tattoos on his body and everything else. And I said that to everybody. I said, look, I said, it's obvious that Stephen loved the Lord. In his own way, I mean, who's going to put a picture of Jesus Christ's face this big on the arm and show it off to everybody? He wasn't ashamed. But you know what? He had some stones in his heart. And I hope nobody else in here does. But you know what? You pick those stones up every single day in life. You get bitter at family members. You get bitter at brothers and sisters, a stone of bitterness. You get the stone of regret. Yeah, I could go on for a whole message just talking about the stones of your life, the different stones in the field of your heart that stops you from being productive for God. Amen. Amen. Stops you from being fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be fruitful and bear fruit out of that ground if there's stones all over the place. It's not going to happen. You have to get those stones out. Let's continue. Verse 20 says, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word. They want to hear it, right? Like, you know how many people came up to me afterwards and said, I was so great and this and that, and I loved it, and I loved it, and I loved it. And right outside, right back to their life. So they kind of received it, but it's like it didn't really go very far. You see what I mean? It was just kind of like the seed just kind of hit them and kind of fell off. Yeah, that's great. That was great. But you know what? It didn't get inside of a lot of people today. But maybe there was a few that it did, and that's all we can pray for as a church. Maybe there was a few. And the Bible says, yet, verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when the tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The stone of offense. You look at that thing. People get offended, it's like a stone of offense in your heart. And it reminds me, I just had that thought right now, when you think about a brother offended is harder. How does that verse go? It talks in Proverbs. I forget exactly the wording. If you know what it is, shout it out. But basically, it's like the bars of a castle. It's like you're so offended, you're not going to be able to get through to your own brother. And you know what that is? That's the stone of offense. You offend somebody. Now, nowadays, we live in an age where you say the smallest little thing and people get upset, and it's like, you know, you got to tiptoe through the lilies. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like that stuff. I like to just be frank. I like to just be honest. I like to try to plow through with this word of God, because I know me. I know what I need. And how about you tonight? Do you have some stones in your heart tonight, maybe? Sometimes they're there, you don't realize them. Do you know that? Amen. And sometimes the Lord will put some stones in your life on purpose. Maybe it's bad health. Maybe it's, I'm not blaming you if you got bad health. I'm just saying maybe. You know, the proper response for a Christian is when you got some stones thrown in your field in life and you come up on those stones, the proper response is, okay, Lord, number one, what did I do wrong? Number two, how can I fix this thing? You know, and then you go to the Lord for help and you get over that thing. You'll never be fruitful if you know you have a bunch of stones in your field that you're ignoring. And it's the truth. And Jesus is trying to expound on this. He's trying to show the disciples this thing. And that's not all. It says, and by he is offended. In verse 22, and he also that receiveth seed among the thorns. And then he goes on. He says, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. One hand on the plow and one hand on the world. I got that written in my margin here. There was a church today here full of those things, full of these people. Some of them were saved. There was a handful. I got a phone call last night from a girl. I was on the phone for an hour and a half and was telling me all kinds of things about my brother. All kinds of things. She just got saved. And it confirmed some things I knew about my brother, where I knew he was a Christian. I knew he was battling. And I knew he was saved, and I knew he was definitely, he had his hand, his plow was in the world. I know that for sure. Jesus tells his disciples, be careful for that. Deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. So not only is there stones out there that gets in your heart and messes you up, and now there's thorns out there. I got tons of thorns on my property. You know what happens when I get up and I'm making progress? I'm going out to the back of my property, almost on just under 2 acres. It's like my kids make trails back there. We got to stop when there's thorns everywhere, because if I continue through it, I'll get all tore up and I'll bleed. So what happens is it slows you down. You got the cares of this life, and that's just part. If you're married in here, you know what I'm talking about. If you got kids in here, you know what I'm talking about. The cares of the life will slow you down. It will slow you down. But don't make it allow you to be unfruitful, because that's what it says next, and he becameth unfruitful. But he, verse 23, that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. There's the hard part. I said to some other people, I said, I don't understand the difference. My childhood was 10 times worse than my little brother. He had everything he ever wanted. Why did this happen? It should have happened to me. I don't understand that. Why is that? I just don't understand it. All I can say is that when I got 13, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ. It didn't sink in until later. And I think the Lord had a hand in my life during this whole thing. And not only that, as I knew, as I got older, I knew I had to get away from some people that I had to get away from. If I didn't do that, I was going to end up like that. And I made the decision to do that. And the Lord honored it. And I appreciate that. And why? Because I understood some things. If Christians would only understand some things today, things would be a lot better. Why is there such a deep lack of not understanding things? You know what I can't stand? I can't stand the fact that, and it's not just this church, it's every church that I go to, and I preach at a handful of them all over the place, and over the last 18, almost 20 years, I've been in tons of churches, and I've interned pastors for two of them, so that while they're the same people, months and months and months, and I see the same things everywhere. As you go into a church and you preach to them, and they love the Lord, I know they do, and they love the Word of God, the King James Bible, but you start talking to the pastor, and you hang out long, and I've just seen all these problems. All these stones everywhere. And you start thinking to yourself, like, wow, what, everywhere I go, I see the same thing. What's going on here? No understanding. No understanding. And it's sad. In the last days, men should be lovers of their own selves. Pride, boasters, right? All that stuff. Have teachers having itchy ears and all that stuff. And you get pride behind the pulpit and you get a mess. And then we know we're in a Laodicean age. And you know what happens is understanding just goes away. And then you just go to church because it's the thing to do, and the doors are open, you just show up, and what happens is you have a stony heart, and you have absolutely no understanding, but you're going through the motions, you get offended, you get mad, and you leave. And I'm not talking about this church. I mean, I see it everywhere, everywhere. Why? Lack of understanding. Lack of spiritual discernment. You know how many people that I see, and including myself at times, where there's just spiritual discernment is just shot. Just shot. Like I'll see other, I won't mention anything, not in this church, of course, but out of respect for other people. Like I'll see people's kids that are in a ministry, and like I see the stuff that their parents allow them to do, wear, and act, and I do not understand it. I am clueless. Like, what am I missing? You know what I mean? The Bible says this stuff is forbidden, but you're going to let your kid play with all these things and do all these wicked things. I don't get that. What is that? That's a stony heart. That's a stony heart. And don't let that happen to you. Jesus said, understand these things. He's teaching us. How many thousands of years ago he wrote this thing? And this is true today. And if you pay attention to this thing, this is one of the keys to victory in a Christian life. That's what I was given. I'll tell you what, this is good stuff. And it's about bearing fruit. Verse 23, and he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, number one, understandeth it, number two, and bears fruit. Everybody's different. Everybody's not going to bear the same amount of fruit. Everybody's not going to win the same amount of souls. It's not a numbers game. I'll be honest with you. And I think my Uncle Mike, Pastor Wills, feels the same way. I'd rather have, if I ever had a church, I'd rather just have a few families that loved the Lord and were fruitful and trying versus a whole house full of strife and sacrifice. I really would. Because you know what happens when you have a few good grounds, a few good families have good hearts, they're going to bring in people just like that. And they're going to do their job, and the church will grow in unity, one mind, one accord. It'll be nice. Amen. It sounds nice, huh? Is it possible today? I think so. I think it's possible. But it starts with you. It starts with you and the stones that are in your heart. You see, you got to analyze yourself. Nobody's going to fix you for you. All the tools are right here in the Word of God for you to get fixed up. Nobody's going to do it for you. God never does something for someone that they can do themselves. All right? Why would he? You know what that's called? Laziness. God won't use a lazy person. He will not. Why would he? The Bible says they that deal with me, deal with God, must deal with him in two ways, spirit and in truth. You got to be honest with yourself, and you got to believe and understand the truth, and you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. You got to break up your own fallow ground, the Bible says. And the Lord says there's stones all throughout our lives, and we just ignore them. Like maybe like a cancerous lump that's been on your shoulder or something for years, and you're just like, yeah, it's all right. And then when you get to 40, 50 years old, all of a sudden they're popping all over your back, and you got to have surgery. Next thing you know, you got lymph gland cancer. That's kind of like what it is. If you ignore those stones and go around them, you'll never have as much fruit in your life as you should have. And it's the truth. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. We all have work to do. But I can tell you this, if you give an effort, God will do the rest. You start digging that stone out and the Lord will roll it away. He will. Because that's what he wants. He's looking for effort. And that's the issue. Nobody puts out effort. Nobody tries anymore. We live in a world full of quitters. We really do. We live in a generation, I don't even know what it is now, X, Z, Y, I have no clue. You got man buns and tight pants, and I don't know what's going on. I really don't have a clue what's going on. But I know one thing, is they don't have a clue. And you know who I blame for all this stuff? I blame the older men in this generation. I do. I blame the old men. Because what happens, they drop the ball. Back in the old days, you'd be out in public, and the old men wouldn't put up with the stuff that's out there right now. I'm talking about a lost person. A lost person in 1950 has more class, more clout, more respect than a saved born-again pastor in 2018, 2019. Do you realize that? Say, what's wrong? The Bible. It's been kicked out of schools, kicked out of homes, kicked out of families. No more family devotion, no more family prayer, no more nothing. Just stones, stones, rocks, rocks, stones. It looks like a big trash heap with stones all packed in there. And then you have people crying and running to the pastor. I don't know why this happened to me. Look at your life. Look at your life. Oh, God, please help me. I've been trying for years and years and years and years and years, and you won't do your part. You won't start pulling these stones out and say, I hate this. I'm not going to smoke. Oops, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do these things. I refuse. Amen. And if I have an issue with it, I'm going to dig on that stone until I remove it. That's what the Lord's saying here. That's what's going on. And the Bible also, and he goes on to say in another parable. But I want to look at a couple of things. So let me go look over here. I think it's going to be in Luke chapter 8. And I want to get down to Luke chapter 8, verse 15. I'm going to go through it again. There's a couple of different accounts of the sower. Maybe when I come back, I'll hit some of the other ones. Maybe we'll get through all seven of them by the time I leave. I don't know, but the sower. So look at here. It's actually going to be in Luke chapter 8. We just went over the one account in Matthew chapter 13. We'll briefly look at Luke chapter 8. It's only verses 4 through 15. It's not that many verses. And then there's another account, which is in Mark 4. So Mark 4, chapters 1 through 20. It's interesting. The way the Lord puts this thing together is you need to kind of take all the different accounts, kind of read them, put them together. So I'll carry two or three Bibles. Sometimes I put them on computers or something. I have big Bibles. And I like to look at, kind of put the whole big picture together. The Lord's a puzzle maker, and that drives me crazy, but the Bible says, the study that show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And God, what God does is he requires effort, and if you want to get his word, you got to dig into it, you got to put all the pieces together, you got to pray on it, you got to think on it, and you got to analyze it, and you got to put some effort on it. People that put effort in the Bible, they get understanding. It's that simple. People that put no effort, their understanding is a little bit. You know, they're saved, they know a little bit. You know, maybe even they know the books of the Bible, they know a little bit. But when it comes to like really getting understanding open, I was just talking to Pastor Mike the other day, and we're talking about the road, I think it's Emmaus, right, where the Lord's coming up, and they're walking, and are talking about Jesus and all the things that happen. And the Lord's like, really, really, really? And they didn't even know it was him. And then all of a sudden, he opened their eyes and they're like, whoa, Lord, it's you. It's you, Lord. And like the Lord's like, okay, see you later. And he kept off going another way. And you're like, aren't you going to go this way? Nope, you're good. You got some understanding. Do something with it. Amen. Look what it says in the Bible in Luke chapter 8. The parable of the sower, 5. Luke 8, 5. The sower went out to sow his seed. He had that. He went out. So right there, we had number one is he went out. He did something. He put effort out. He went out. He didn't just sow it in his own family, in his own kids, in his own life. He went out and tried to sow it to other people, other places. He went out. Not only that, and he sowed. And some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, discouraged, right? And the fowls of the air devoured it, right? And if you look in verse 12, it says, and these by the wayside are they that hear, that cometh, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their what? That's a problem. Lest they should believe and be what? Saved. You know what it says over in Mark chapter 4? It says converted. That's salvation. You see, what happens is when you take a look at this thing, the parable of the sower, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing the keys of salvation. You're seeing how it works when you witness to somebody. You understand what's coming. When you start witnessing somebody, you might as well bet, number one, that if your motives are right and you're prayed up and you're trying, the devil is going to come. Either in front of you immediately or else shortly thereafter, or else he's going to prevent you from getting where you need to be. The Lord says, hey, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to come. And not only that, it says, verse 5, the end of that thing, it says, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Multiple things are going to happen. And it's, you know what I do, what I try to do when I witness to somebody? I usually say something like, I try to give them a track, or if it's a really good witness, I say, well, you might as well be prepared. Something's about to happen in your life. And you look at it, you're like, what? I'm just telling you, now that I've told you about Jesus Christ, on the way home in 10 minutes from now, your mom's going to call, flat tire, somebody's sick. I'm just telling you, something's about to happen because I'm telling you about the, you know what I'm doing? I'm living Matthew chapter 13. I'm living Mark 4. I'm living Luke 8. I know what's going to happen. I have understanding. I'm trying to have understanding. And as a Christian, it's our responsibility to have understanding. And if you don't, you're lazy. It's just, you're lazy. A child that doesn't do his schoolwork is just lazy. A father that doesn't discipline his children, you're lazy. So I love them. If you love them, then you what? You discipline them. Amen. Because if you love them, you don't want them to turn out wrong. Amen. Not only that, it says in some, verse 6, it says, and some fell upon a rock. You say, well, that sounds pretty good. Upon a rock of Jesus, and I'm stable. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that sower throwing some seed on the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Moisture. Conditions have to be right. You know, it's not always right to read your Bible. Sometimes you should be doing something else, and the Lord will show you that. The conditions have to be right in a Christian's life. You should have some kind of a schedule. You should have some kind of a balance in your life. I don't care if you're exercising. I don't care if you're working. I don't care if you're playing the piano. I don't care what you're doing. You should have a balance. The Bible says that. In Proverbs, it says what? A false balance is an abomination unto the Lord, but a just weight is his delight, it says. A just weight. I where that verse is, I circled it as in just weight. Not heavy, but like take your time and wait on the Lord. It's like a double application. But back to this here, back in Luke chapter 8, the parable, it says in the bottom of 6, it says, and it, as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns. We talked about that. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground. That's where I want to be. I want to have good ground and sprang up and bear fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Why did he do that? Isn't that crazy? Why did he cry? I don't know the answer. You ever think about that? Why did he cry? There's only very few times in the Bible where Jesus Christ cried over something. And it said he cried. It must have been pretty important. Something's going on there. If the Lord Jesus Christ was crying and weeping and mourning over this parable of the sower, it must be pretty important. But you just blow it over like, oh yeah, it's just a parable and it's fine and I know. But no, the Bible says he cried. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody's going to get it. You're going to go out there and you're going to put seeds out, and it's going to go out and go out. Some's going to bounce off. Some's going to get choked. Some's going to hit the sun. The fowls are going to come and take it away. But you know what you're supposed to do? Keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing. That's what you should do. You should have a steady schedule of trying to go out witnessing, handing out some tracts. I did street preaching, and we still do it occasionally, but we were on a schedule where 3 or 4 months out of the year, every single Saturday night, we'd be at a certain place, certain time, and we'd hand out tracts and we'd preach no matter what, no matter what. And over the course of about 4 or 5 years, we've seen about 13 people saved. So that was pretty good. You say, that's not many. Well, one's good enough for me. I'll take one. So that was pretty good. So the Bible says here in verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? They had no idea. They were with Jesus Christ. They had no clue. You know how many people hung around Jesus Christ and they said, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean you're going to send to the Father? What do you mean? What, are you going to go kill yourself? Where, you know, I'm going to be gone pretty soon, Jesus says. Where are you going? They didn't have a clue. You know how many people and how many Christians proclaim to be Christians and they don't have a clue? They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. I hope that's not you in here. And I don't think it is. I mean, being a Wednesday night, you're probably pretty committed. You probably read your Bible. You probably know a lot of Bible. So I'm assuming that you have a lot of good ground, right? I sure hope so. And he says this in verse 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ cries, and he says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries. It's a great mystery. You know, there's 7 great mysteries in the Bible. There may be more, but there's 7 great, you know, mysteries. And the indwelling of Jesus Christ in a believer, the incarnation of Jesus Christ when he was, you know, born of a woman, born of a virgin, God manifested in the flesh. That's a mystery. Jesus said these parables are a mystery. So I'm assuming that there's things about this parable that we can figure out. And if we figure out, we're going to really understand how God works. And that's how deep this thing gets. And he says, mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, they're not always going to get it. And seeing that they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand. And then he explains, he says in verse 12, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, the word, and then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Why? Because it's landing on stones, it's scorched, it's landing on hardness, there's no moisture, there's no good ground. So the seed lands and the devil comes in and takes it away easily, very easily. Lest they should believe and be saved, the Bible says. And I love when it says that. Believe and be saved. It's easy. It's easy to get saved. You have to have understanding. The word's got to be there. The word and understanding have to be there. And 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Here I am again with this no root, no fruit principle. Without being rooted and grounded, and the Bible says in love, by the way, but without being rooted, you might as well forget it. You will never be successful as a Christian for the long term without root. And you know, it takes time for roots. You're not just going to plant a tree and then wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh, look at my apples or my whatever. Aren't they pretty? No. Sometimes it takes years and years and years. And I got some trees on my property that are 7, 8, 9, 10 foot around in circumference. I look up and they just go, pew. And I say, wow. And my uncle was on my property. We were cutting some trees down and stuff. And he says, Joe, this tree is probably 100 years old. And I'm looking at this thing and it's leaning this way because it's so old. It's getting good angle from the sun. It's just, okay, that's good. And it stopped that way. I mean, it is massive. Takes time, and it's got a good root system, and it's standing the test of time. It's standing a lot of storms, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulation. I remember my teacher, Dr. Ruckman, used to say it takes 20 years for God to make the man. Before God can use a man behind a pulpit, it'll take 20 years. He used to say that. He used to say, first of all, he used to always say God is not going to use a lazy man, and he always would tell us that it just he basically saying, boys, slow down. Don't be in a rush to set the world on fire. You're going to have to go through some things in life. Christian, you're going to have to go through some things in life. To get strength, you have to get hurt. That tree might have broke three or four times and splintered off and dropped another seed. And over the course of time, it found the dirt was just right and the water was just right. And that thing is massive, massive. And then the fowls of the air lodge in that thing. Isn't that crazy? So what are you saying, Brother Joe? I'm saying be patient in your Christian life. I'm saying have some understanding. I'm saying put the word of God, bring the puzzles, bring the 1,000 pieces out and scatter them out and work on putting them together. Work on looking at it. Say, I got this goofy idea of such and such. Well, make sure that it fits the scriptures all the way through. You can't just take a couple of verses and say, oh, this means that. Well, it's a lot deeper than that. And you put all the puzzles together. And the Lord goes on to say some more things. We'll finish up here in a couple of minutes. Bear with me. 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe. So, you know, without root for a while, it might be okay. You know, you go and you cut all the roots out of this tree. It might stick up for a little bit. It might not fall down. And in time of temptation, will fall away. So you know what Jesus Christ is explaining in this parable? He's saying that if you don't go through some things in life, if you don't allow and and work on your Christian life and weather the storms and let your root system get good and strong, he's saying you're going to fall away. And that's what's going on, is Christians don't have any roots. They think they do. They think they're strong. Everybody wants to preach nowadays. I told my pastor this morning, my pastor came to the funeral to support me, and we were leaving this thing, and everybody's crying and this and that, and I said, I don't wish this on my worst enemy. I said, I don't want to do this. I said to my pastor, 40 years he's been pastor, I said, something's wrong with a man if he wants to get up here and do this. There's something wrong with him. The heartbreak that it takes, the study, the hours, no money, and the stress, and the turn. You know what, pastors are like, you know what? I don't need that. I'll go to work and earn a living and have a peaceful life. But when God calls you to do something, you have to do it. Amen. So going on here, the Bible says, in time of temptation, they'll fall away because of no root. And 14, and that which fell among thorns are they. See how specific the Lord is? The Lord will deal with you specifically. He's being very gentle here. He's being very slow. The disciple says, Lord, I don't. What can this be? Verse 9. What might this parable be? I don't know, Lord. A clue. And the Lord says, calm down. Take your time. Slow down. I'll show you what this means. He says very gently, he looks here and he says, and that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Some people bring fruit, but it's really not perfect. You think about that thing. You say, well, and you know what? That's a direct reference to the judgment seat of Christ. That is a direct reference to a judgment seat of Christ, I believe. That someday you'll have to stand before God and you'll give an account of yourself, right? And not only that, but you'll give an account of yourself and the works that you've done. And the Lord's going to examine your motives and he's going to examine your fruit and your heart and all these things in Matthew 13 and Luke 8. And Mark 4, the Lord's going to bring all this thing to your remembrance. I think you're going to be judged by your lack of effort in the Bible. I think you're going to be judged because you never worked on your Christian life you should have. I mean, you could go out right now and set up an office in your home with leather seats and couches and air conditioning and big screen TVs, 5 Bibles laid out here, this study aid. And you know, you could spend 10 grand if you wanted to and have this beautiful elaborate office and push a button and just have Bible everywhere. But you don't do it. I'm not saying you got to spend money. I'm saying effort. It's like we live in a day and age where it's just freely there. I got Bibles all over my house. I think we're going to be judged on that. I think our biggest thing in the judgment seat of Christ is our lack of interest, is our lack of initiative, our lack of drive to learn this book. Because if you don't learn this book, you're going to think that you know something. But guess what? You're not going to have any root. You're not going to have any clue. And when it comes time for temptation, you're going to fall away. You ever seen those Christians, and no matter what happens, they just can't seem to get it together? They just can't seem to get their head straight. It's like, oh, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. Some of them come to church one day a month, one day a week. They're just all over the place. all over the place, unstable. The Bible word for that is no root. No root, no fruit. It's a pretty easy concept if you look at it. Going on, it talks about choked with cares and riches and pleasures. It's not wrong to have cares. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to enjoy some things in life, but it's wrong to be choked out by them. Because I'll be honest with you, you really can't hardly have both. And that's what the Lord said. It's easier for what? A camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter in heaven. Didn't he say that? I didn't say. The Lord said that. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I'm saying it's pretty tight, pretty fat chance. Pretty fat chance. You count real solid Bible-believing Christian millionaires, probably on half a hand, honestly. Because they've always got it. When you got a lot of money, you've always got motives behind things. If I came in this church and had millions of dollars, and I'm going to tell you right now, people would be wanting me to preach and wanting to pour all the burdens on me because, hey, Brother Joe's got money. He'll give it away. I'm just telling you how people think. Am I right? Of course I am. Of course I am. That's right. And by the way, I don't have any money. But, and here's the verse I'm trying to get to, and we'll close with this statement. Bear with me a few more moments. I'm getting help out of this, if nothing else. Verse 15, it says, but that on the good ground, that's where I want to be, are they which have an honest and good heart. That's like the key. This is the key verse of this whole parable. I'm going to read the verse, and then I'll expound on it just a little bit, and we'll be done. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's a pretty deep verse. If you really look at that thing, it's saying on a good ground, if you have good ground, you have to be honest with yourself. If you get mad over things easy, you got to be honest with yourself. And you got to guard yourself. Say, like, I got a temper problem. All right, I got to watch what I say. I might have to walk away from some people, so I don't say nothing. I've done it. I do it all the time. You might have a problem. It says, having heard the word, keep it. You might have a problem going home, flipping on a TV, and this sermon goes in one ear and out the other, and you're watching something you shouldn't be watching. I'm just saying, I'm not accusing you or trying to be mean. I'm just saying maybe that's going on. It says, you got to keep it. Jesus Christ said that. I didn't say that. He said, you have to keep it. And I'm going to read in between the lines and blow it up a little bit because the reason you have to keep it is because the fowls are coming to take it. So you got to be kind of like this. That's what it means. So if you don't make an effort to keep that thing close to you and be looking, because I know it's coming. On the way down here, I had a blowout in my tire. I blew a belt off my tire. He said, that's the devil, that's you being lazy and not getting new tires. Well, you're right. I should have gotten new tires. But I'll tell you what, why did it happen today? Why did that happen today? He said, what is that? That's Matthew 13. That's just little things. The little fowls coming down. You say, well, what about all these other little things? It's just the little things coming out, little fowls coming down. The Bible says in 15, this is the key verse. I believe you got to highlight and underline it because this is the verse that Jesus Christ says, this is like the last verse in Ecclesiastes, right? This is the conclusion of the whole matter. It's kind of like that verse. It says, but then on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. You know what that insinuation means? That you cannot have a good heart if you're not honest with yourself. If you're not honest with who you are and your downfalls, you don't have a good heart. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Just got to be honest and a good heart. Having heard the word, keep it. It takes effort to keep this thing. And I think that we're going to be judged on that. Because just about every sermon that is preached nowadays is recorded somewhere. It's kept. There's a record kept, good ones and bad ones. Maybe you don't like me or like someone else, whatever, doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what, there's a record of it. It's kept somewhere. And the Lord knows it. And you're responsible for what you hear. There's the issue. So I don't really like that. It doesn't really matter what you like. Well, I don't really want it. It doesn't really matter where you want to go. Well, I don't really. It doesn't really matter. Because you're responsible for what you heard. And you're responsible to keep it, the Bible says. And It doesn't say, and hopefully you'll bring forth fruit. It's and, it means it's a conjunction. That means, and also, this is part of what's going on over here. If you're honest, if you have a good heart, if you make an effort to keep the word of God, work on memorizing things, make an effort to care about the things of God and his word, and you'll bring forth fruit. How? The Bible says, with patience. Patiently. Patiently. Patience is a virtue, my dear son. How many times have you heard that? We don't have patience. We have credit cards. We don't have patience. We got fast food, fast internet, instant gratification. We don't have those things today. We don't have patience. The Bible says, okay, tribulation worketh patience. Want to have some patience? God's going to bring some tribulation into your life. You don't like that? You're going to be unfruitful. I don't like it, but you have to deal with it. Bring forth fruit with patience. So that's the gist of it. That's the gist of the sower. And I could hit the other passage and probably pull out some more things from it. And my favorite kind of preaching is expository. That means you read through something and you verse by verse, you pull things out and draw from those things and chew on them. And that's my favorite kind of preaching. I'm not a big fan of this topical stuff. Throw out one verse and just rant and rave and tell about all your cousin Jimmy's and this and that. And I'm not into that. I want the word of God expounded. The Ethiopian eunuch did. How am I going to hear unless a preacher teach me? Tell me more. Tell me more. And that's what's lacking. You're going to go home tonight and you're going to turn on a TV and it'll be anti-God, anti-truth, anti-everything we just did. And then you're going to wonder why you feel like God's not blessing you, why things aren't working. When the truth of the matter is when the tribulation comes and when problems come, you'll endure with patience and it will bring forth fruit and much fruit, 100-fold. You see how that thing works? That's Bible. Amen. I pray that was a help to you tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Is there anything else we need to talk about or do tonight before we'd be dismissed? Just figured I'd throw that out there. Anything else that Brother Mike Wilps or Pastor Wilps would want to say or do? Or anybody has any final conclusions for this evening? Yes, sir. I'm sorry, the what? Yes. Yes. Okay, let's look at that real fast. Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than the bars of a castle, something like that. Let's see. Proverbs 18:1, is that what you said? 18:19. There it is. Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended. There's that rock of offense. It's harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. In my parentheses, I have, or son, a brother or son. I have a son that's 23 years old that you might as well forget it. The bars of contentions are so strong, it's just shot. Only God's going to fix that thing. And it's true. You got to be careful offending somebody. And I don't do very good at that. This day and age we live in, it's like you can't breathe on somebody. Not because you're sick and don't want to get them sick. You can't even look at somebody and try to talk to them without them get offended. They just shut you out and call you names like bigot or racist and this and that. And I'm like, listen, you realize that comment you just made? Who made about the Jewish people? Who said that? Somebody did. Did you say about the Jewish people? That's a racist comment. Why would you say something like that? Amen. I agree with you. I'm just saying the world says, hey, that's racist, you bigot. Really? So you mean to tell me God's a racist? According to what you're saying, I guess he is, right? That's the world we live in. It's a crazy, mixed up nut. It is. And my Bible teacher used to say this. He says it's an insane asylum run by the inmates. It's true. I want to say one more thing in closing. Not about Bible. I appreciate the Bible and I love the Bible. It's about food. Whoever wants some food, you can go ahead into the kitchen. There's lots of food left over from the funeral today. I wouldn't say lots, but there's a good bit. A lot of sweet stuff. I think there might even be some meatballs, some rolls, and stuff like that. The family asked to go ahead and take that stuff, and the church wants that stuff gone too. So if you want something, feel free to go in there. Maybe we can fellowship for a minute or so, drink coffee, eat something, hang out. If not, grab something and take it with you. Appreciate you coming tonight. Don't forget to pray for Pastor Wilps as he's away. I did talk with him. We just texted a bunch of times, and He said, it's really weird over here. Like, this was like 5 minutes before we started. He said, it's 7:30 in the morning on Thursday over here, or something like that. So it's kind of weird, isn't it? A big time difference. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, the King James Bible and the sower. We thank you, Lord, for those truths that we can draw from thy word. And we each and one, every one of us is in this game called life and this race called the Christian walk and race. Help us to be patient. Help us to be steady. Help us to watch our hearts, remove our stones. Lord, help us to think about the things that were talked about tonight, preached about. And Lord, may we revisit these things in our prayer closet and say, Lord, is it me? What do I have in my heart, Lord, that I need to work on? Please help me. And when you say that, you'd be surprised what shows up. It's pretty amazing. And Father, I pray you bless the pastor as he's gone. Be with all these prayer requests. Thank you for this church. And I pray you'd bless it and have your will and way until we meet again, hopefully in the air. In Jesus' name, amen.